almost again for community forum, and we are very lucky to have with us in the studios live this morning Brian Watson, who is with the Ground Zero Center for Nonviolent Action. Brian, thank you for coming.
Good morning. Yeah, thank you.
Brian, tell us about how you got involved with the Ground Zero Center and maybe a little bit about the center itself.
Well, the center itself is over 20 years old. It was begun back in the late 70s when people up and down the West Coast were concerned about the Trident submarine program, which at that time was still on the drawing boards. Ground Zero formed at that time to be a force of nonviolent resistance to the Trident nuclear weapons system. And it found its home in Kitsap County, right next to the Bangor Trident submarine base, which is about 20 miles straight west of Seattle. I got involved with Ground Zero in 1992 after graduating from college and moving to Kitsap County and learning of this horrible nuclear weapons system right there in my backyard. I couldn't live there and not do nothing. I had to do something, so I got involved. Since that time, I've been learning how to challenge these Goliath-like weapons and try to just keep this movement alive and make it grow.
Right, tell us about the realities of what's at the base there.
Sure. At the Bangor Trident submarine base, there are eight Trident nuclear-powered, nuclear-armed submarines. At the Bangor base itself, there are approximately 1,600 nuclear weapons stored there and deployed from there. Like I said, that's 20 miles west of here, so one very discomforting fact is that there are 1,600 nuclear weapons 20 miles west of Seattle. Most people do not know that. They're right here in Puget Sound. They're based right next to the Olympic National Park on Hood Canal. And they are not just a threat to Seattle or to Kitsap County, but they're mostly a threat to the rest of the world. Whoever our enemy of the week is, those are the people that we really have to think about. Go ahead.
No. This is horrifying. Please.
Yeah. Well, the Trident system itself is split between the East Coast and the West Coast. There are 10 Trident submarines based out of Kings Bay, Georgia, which is just north of the Florida border. And then the other eight are, like I said, based here in Bangor. Each Trident submarine is armed with 24 submarine-launched ballistic missiles. And each of those 24 missiles is armed with eight nuclear warheads, which are independently targeted. Some of those warheads are 100 kilotons each. Some of those warheads are 475 kilotons each. These numbers are pretty meaningless until you actually consider what one nuclear weapon does to the human body. I think we're familiar with Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The bomb that destroyed Hiroshima, and which killed approximately, no one really knows, some people place the number as high as 200,000 people. That bomb was 14 kilotons. 14. So just one of the Trident nuclear warheads is approximately 7 to 8 times as destructive as the bomb which was dropped on Hiroshima. And then we just have to extrapolate out from there. Each warhead is 7 times as destructive as the bomb on Hiroshima. There are 8 of those warheads per missile. There are 24 missiles per sub. There are 18 subs in our fleet. What that means is that the United States is currently deploying 3,456 nuclear warheads on Trident That is about half of our deployed nuclear arsenal at this time. And these weapons, again, we have to consider and understand what the effect of these weapons is on human beings. And I think Hiroshima and Nagasaki give us the best examples of what they do. They are truly weapons of mass destruction, and I cannot fathom and express the nature of their evil. These weapons are unquestionably, undeniably evil, and they have no right to exist. They should not exist.
Yeah, I find it interesting that there's been so much focus over the last couple of years on weapons of mass destruction in the hands of particular leaders in the Middle East, but they never seem too focused, certainly on our own, and especially, as you point out, the ones that are just sitting 20 miles away from Seattle.
Quite ironic, isn't it? The United States is very good at pointing the finger at other people, picking the speck out of one eye while we have a board in our own, as Jesus said in the scriptures. Actually, one of the best actions, nonviolent direct actions out at Bangor was a few years ago during the time when the United States was clamoring for weapons inspections in Iraq, and Iraq was saying, no, you guys are spying on us, which turned out to be true. There was a group of Canadian folks, which included a member of parliament, several church leaders, veterans, etc., who came to Bangor to do a citizens' weapons inspection. They came to search for and confirm the presence of weapons of mass destruction here in Puget Sound. They rented a plane, a small single-engine plane, and they flew over the Bangor base and took photographs and video of the submarines and the bunkers where the weapons are stored. And then they came down to the front gates of Bangor and demanded to be let in for an inspection. This is exactly the same thing that the United States was demanding the Iraqis do for the UN weapons inspection team. And it was a great, beautiful moment when the public relations officer at Bangor said, no, we won't let you in. No, we won't let you in. He just kept saying that over and over. And then the crowning moment was when the weapons inspection team went up to the Bangor fence and hung this big yellow sign on the fence that said, in very official lettering, mind you, it looks like a real sign, it said, this facility contains weapons of mass destruction. Warning. And it very much exposed the double standard, the hypocrisy of our government about these matters. Our government continues to maintain that the United States has the ability to deploy weapons of mass destruction, to threaten mass annihilation, genocide on an unprecedented scale, but no one else can. You know, if anyone else does, then that's a problem. But we can do it. And you know, I think that's just wrong. You know, to think that we are so humane, you know, that we are so good that we would never use these weapons for any deleterious purpose is a lie. It's just wrong. We were the ones who launched, who dropped the bombs on Hiroshima. We were the ones who dropped the bombs on Nagasaki. We were the ones who killed millions of people in Vietnam. We were the ones who have, since 1990, killed over 500,000 children in Iraq due to the sanctions. We are not humanitarians in this country. Our government certainly is not. And when I consider the destruction that our government has already carried out, and then I think about these weapons, the Trident nuclear weapons, I get chills. Because I know that our government is capable of incredible destruction and that it does not have these so-called human values that we claim to have and which we claim other countries do not have. We are, in fact, pursuing policies which are blatantly, unquestionably evil.
Even going so far as to going against our own people, we're just coming out recently and admitting that it did, at the low end, expose 600,000 workers to nuclear weapons facilities,
that's
lasers
right.
and radiation and such.
Yeah, that's amazing. The story of the downwinders, whether it's at Hanford or in southern Utah, the people in the South Pacific who saw the tests there, the people who worked at the bomb factories at Rocky Flats and Hanford and Savannah River and so many other places, the whole cycle of the nuclear weapon is evil. From the time that the uranium is mined till the time when those bombs, till the waste is produced and we have nowhere to put it. I mean, this whole enterprise is just morally indefensible. It needs to be stopped.
Now, Kitsap Peninsula is where Tango is based. Is it dependent on that base? Is that the primary income for the peninsula itself?
It's one of the major economic factors in Kitsap County.
Okay.
Bangor employs, I think, about 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 people. I'm not sure on the number there, both civilian employees as well as Navy personnel. Bangor itself is 7,000 acres, and it's a huge city, actually. It's a big town, in addition to being a nuclear weapons deployment point. And yes, it is a major, major part of the Kitsap County economy, along with Puget Sound Naval Shipyard and Keyport Naval Underwater Warfare Center, which is where torpedoes are tested, developed, and so forth. Kitsap County is one of the most heavily militarized counties in the world, and people don't know that, by and large, I think. So we're sort of a ground zero being based in Kitsap County is kind of a bit odd. we like to think that we're sort of an oasis there. I hope that we are.
You have an interesting statistic for how Kitsap County would rate against the
Oh, yeah, this is very interesting. Yeah, with 1,600 nuclear weapons based in Kitsap County, pretend for a moment that Kitsap County secedes from the United States and declares itself the free and independent Republic of Kitsap County, makes itself its own country. If Kitsap County were able to do that, it would be the third largest nuclear weapons power in the world, behind Russia and the United States itself. With 1,600 nuclear weapons in Kitsap County, it has more nuclear weapons based or on its soil than all of the nuclear weapons of Britain, France, China, Israel, India, and Pakistan combined. It's amazing. Utterly amazing.
And that's all 20 miles away from downtown Seattle.
20 miles away, if that. It might be even less than that. Yeah, it's right here in our backyard.
So I have to imagine that you being based right next to the base,
yeah.
That your actions aren't real popular over there. I'm wondering if you can tell us about some of the actions
sure.
that you guys have carried out over the last few years.
Sure. Yeah, like I said, we are sort of an odd thing in Kitsap County, and I think a lot of times people there in Kitsap County must think we're from another planet, because the things that we say completely are foreign to them. But having said that, it's pretty amazing that we've actually been able to connect with and touch the hearts of a lot of our neighbors and coworkers and community members. We do nonviolent direct actions at Bangor, which usually involves people putting their bodies in the way of the normalcy of preparations for nuclear war. Most recently, people have been standing or sitting in the roadway leading to the Bangor base, in effect, symbolically shutting the base down. One of these actions happened in August 9th, 1998, on the anniversary of the Nagasaki bombing. 9 people blocked the roadway leading to the Bangor base. Those people were prosecuted for disorderly conduct, which carries a maximum penalty of 90 days in jail and a $1,000 fine. I was one of those defendants. We pleaded not guilty to the charge of disorderly conduct, and we demanded a jury trial. We eventually got one in June of 1999. The wheels of justice grind ever so slowly. And over 4 days of testimony to a jury of our peers, Kitsap County citizens, we told them why we did what we did. And I presented evidence that international law compelled me to take nonviolent action to resist the plans, the preparations of our government to engage in nuclear war. The jury went back into its deliberations and came out 4 hours later, and they found us all not guilty of disorderly conduct. Later on, when I talked with some jurors, what they said was that hearing what we said about nuclear weapons, they felt that the government was acting illegally, that the government should be prosecuted, that what we did, we had the right to do. And some of these jury members had husbands in the Navy. You know, these aren't fellow peaceniks necessarily. These are folks who, you know, live in Kitsap County. They're just normal folks. And we were able to speak to them, and amazingly enough, they agreed with us. More recently even than that, in December of 1999, a judge found that 4 people who again blocked the road to Bangor, this time they were charged with displaying an unauthorized sign, a very bizarre charge designed primarily to avoid a jury trial, a traffic offense essentially, that these 4 people were not guilty. The judge said, I don't know why mankind does what it does. Nuclear weapons are, you know, unthinkable. What you did was you were expressing your beliefs. You're not guilty. Even more recently than that, just a couple weeks ago, five of us who had blocked the road to Bangor again on Martin Luther King Day, January 17th of 2000, went to court expecting to plead not guilty at an arraignment hearing. Turns out we weren't on the court calendar. Later found out that the prosecutor was not going to press charges because, and these are his words, he said that what we did not fit the definition of a crime according to our community standards. This is amazing. So, you know, we've had 2 not guilty verdicts in the last couple of years, and then 1 outright dropping of the charges because the prosecutor knew that he couldn't get a guilty verdict on Trident resistors. Before that, in 1985, when nuclear warheads were being shipped to Bangor on rail, on train shipments, 19 people were accused of, I believe, disorderly conduct or trespass. And their jury also found them not guilty. This is a pattern which is becoming more frequent across the world as people do these actions to resist nuclear weapons. In October of 1999, 3 Scottish women who disarmed Trident equipment at the Trident base in Scotland — England also has 4 Tridents, by the way — the judge in their case said that international law allowed them, permitted them to take nonviolent direct action against these weapons of mass destruction. Trident and nuclear weapons more broadly are an obvious and very clear violation of international law. Laws which were established even before World War I and which are still in effect today. Yesterday we heard stories of a Serbian officer who was sentenced to 45 years for committing crimes against humanity. He'd massacred a village. Well, what do you think a nuclear weapon could do? Not just on a village, but a whole town, or a whole city, or a whole country. You know, the people who are deploying these weapons, who are designing them, who are appropriating money for these, are all acting in a criminal manner. And they need to really search their conscience, I think, about what they are doing. Because what they're doing is illegal, first of all, and second of all, it's wrong. It's just morally wrong.
Now, it's when you say it's illegal based on which laws?
Sure. A number of international laws say that certain methods of warfare are illegal. The first one is the often called the Hague Convention. It was written in 1907, and it says that you cannot engage in methods of warfare which fail to distinguish between combatants and non-combatants. You can't use methods of warfare which cause unnecessary suffering on soldiers. You can't use poison gas or analogous substances. That was before even World War I. The Nuremberg Principles later on, after World War II, said that crimes against humanity, crimes against the peace, and war crimes are all crimes against international law. And such things as those include wanton destruction of cities or the mass killing of people based on their nationality or their religion or their race, etc. Nuremberg also said that that people, whether civilian or military, have not only the right but the duty to disobey unlawful orders from their government. And the reason they said that was because a lot of the Nazis said, well, gee, the reason I executed Jews was because I was only following orders. Well, Nuremberg said that's no excuse. You still have to follow international law. More recently than that is the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty of 1968, and just reaffirmed a few years ago, and coming up for a review this spring. Article 6 of the Non-Proliferation Treaty says that the nuclear weapon states have an obligation to achieve nuclear disarmament. And since 1968, we've made almost no progress towards nuclear disarmament as required by that treaty. This is the same treaty, by the way, which the United States is constantly wielding, going up to countries like North Korea and saying, blah, 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 you're in violation of this treaty, blah, blah, blah. You're developing nuclear weapons, etc. And that's, you can't do that. Well, the other part of this treaty, the reason why 180 nations signed the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty was that they agreed when they signed that treaty, when they said, effectively, okay, we won't make nuclear weapons. The other half of that bargain is that you guys will get rid of yours. Well, that hasn't happened. Britain, France, China, Russia, United States, those big five nuclear weapons powers are not seriously negotiating the end of nuclear arms. Even more recently than that was the 1996 World Court opinion in The Hague, which reaffirmed the Non-Proliferation Treaty's Article 6, and which said that nuclear weapons are generally contrary to humanitarian law and to international law. nuclear weapons just have no place in a world which claims to be following such laws, or in a country which claims to be following such laws. They're obviously not. And Trident, in particular, is very dangerous.
We only have a few minutes left. Sure. One of the things happening over at the base is, I believe they're bringing in new missiles that have a higher capacity.
Yeah.
So could you tell us about that?
Sure. One of the pieces of evidence which shows that the United States is in wanton violation of these laws is the fact that it's continuing to develop new nuclear weapons capabilities. In particular, the Navy wants to take four of the Trident submarines based at Bangor and load them with a new kind of nuclear missile. It wants to replace the old missile with a new one, which has a longer range and greater accuracy. This project, at the minimum, will cost about $6.5 billion. It's incredibly expensive. Over the long term, the costs are upwards of $20 billion to go through with this program. That's a lot of money. That is a lot of money, $20 billion. And this is all completely unnecessary. The other thing that is happening, the Navy is also developing new nuclear warhead designs under the Submarine Warhead Protection Program, or SWPP, as they call it. And what this is designed to do is redesign some of the warheads that are already deployed so that instead of exploding in the air above a target, they explode at ground level at the target. Both the Submarine Warhead Protection Program and the D-5, the missile upgrade to the D-5 missile, are designed to enhance the already formidable first strike ability of the Trident fleet. Trident is a first strike weapon. It's designed to be used as an attack force. With the increased accuracy, the increased range, and the increased power of these missiles and warheads, that first strike capability will be almost perfected. And that makes me really scared, and it should make everyone really scared, because the Russians know this, and they're watching us. And they also have nuclear weapons. They're not as accurate or as shiny and polished as ours, but they are very destructive. And we should be, instead of upgrading our weapons, we should be making gestures to the Russians to say, okay, we are serious about disarming. We are serious about getting to a place where nuclear war is not as possible. Instead, the United States is pursuing this very belligerent sort of poking the Russians in the eye with their nuclear weapons. And the Russians are not going to take any steps at this point to reduce or stand down their nuclear arsenal. What this does is it puts the whole world, in effect, on a powder keg, and events like the bombing of Kosovo simply throw sparks around on that powder keg. It's a very dangerous situation. Any of these small conflicts, the Kosovo conflict, the NATO expansion, even the war in Chechnya, could escalate. Anything could escalate. When the United States bombed Iraq a couple of years ago in December, the Russians were saying, don't do it. We have nuclear weapons. Whoa. What? Let's calm down here. This is not the kind of world we should be living in, where one tiny little conflict can be completely blown into the extermination of all life. That's just stupid. And I think a lot of people are beginning to recognize that. In particular, a lot of generals and admirals, of all people, have come out and said, this is stupid. We need to disarm. We have to disarm. These weapons are indefensible.
All right. Unfortunately, we are out of time. We've been talking with Brian Watson, who is with the Ground Zero Center for Nonviolent Action. Brian, do you guys have some contact information?
Yes, please do contact us. We need your involvement. Please go to our website at www.gzcenter, that's letter G, letter Z, center.org. You can email us at info@gzcenter.org. You may call us at 360-377-2586. That is 360-377-2586. Our website again, www.gzcenter.org. We need your involvement in order to address these problems.
All right. Well, thank you again for coming in.
Thank you.
And hopefully we'll be back here soon.
Great. Look forward to it.
It is 8 o'clock, and time once again for Counterspin.